We'll be looking at Matthew 6, verses 9 through 11, especially considering the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew 6, verses 9 through 11, and then we'll read Lord's Day 50. So Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And then Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125 asks, "What does the fourth petition mean?" And the answer is, "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. As we begin to look at the fourth petition, it might be good to just pause and just remember and remind ourselves the overall structure of this model prayer that God has given. It's really divided into two parts. The first part deals with God's glory, with His name, His kingdom, His will. And the second part deals with our good, our provision, our forgiveness, our protection. As we begin this second half, there is a subtle shift in focus. But we have to be careful that we don't make it a too strong of a demarcation between the first half and the second half, that God's glory somehow is detached from our good. That the entire focus of this prayer is always directed to our Father who is in heaven. So even when we're praying for our provision, even when we're praying for our forgiveness, even when we're praying for our protection, we are acknowledging God and His fatherly care of His people. We're still declaring that He is our Father in heaven. And the answer to those three petitions in the back half actually fuel, at least in part, the first half. That God's name, His kingdom, and His will is put on display as He takes care of His people and provides for His people. In their provision, in their forgiveness, in their protection, that is a magnifying of the name of God. It's showing His rule and reign over the kingdom, of His kingdom, and it's also demonstrating His will. And so if we too strongly detach them, I think we lose some of the richness of the prayer. And this morning as we look at this fourth petition, we want to do so in two parts. The first is God's care. And the second, our trust. God's care, our trust. So first, God's care. As you read this, "Give us this day our daily bread." Maybe that first phrase, "give us," seems too bold, too pushy, too demanding. Who are we to come to God and say, "Give us"? Seems slightly abrasive. And that would be true if it originated with us. But the phrase was coined by Jesus Christ. He's the one teaching the prayer. He's the one that is providing this model for us as we approach our Heavenly Father. And what he's saying is we have a Father in heaven that loves to provide for his children. If you recall, this is where we started when we started this section on prayer in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which of one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We're little children coming to God with our concerns and our cares and requests. I think sometimes in our minds we have a thought process that the Lord's Prayer we're praying as adults. No. We're praying as children. Yes, we've aged into adulthood, many of us. But we're praying this as children, little ones, infants, coming, toddlers coming before our Heavenly Father. That's the range. We're coming as those, like little ones, that can't do it on our own. And in our mind, we've shifted the prayer to we are capable adults that have it all and can do it all and are completely in control. No. We're toddlers coming to our Heavenly Father and saying, give us. Because if he didn't give, we wouldn't receive. If he didn't give, we wouldn't have. We're asking our Heavenly Father because he will provide. He's the one that has the ability to give. We are wholly dependent. And what we're saying in the fourth petition is, God, if you didn't give, then we wouldn't possess it. I didn't hear any amens because I think we don't believe that. Give us depends on being utterly dependent. And the reality is we don't think we are. We actually still think it's us. Our talents, our ability, our work ethic, our, just keep filling in the blank. The first petition is one of complete, or the fourth petition, the first petition of the second half is one of complete dependence. Deuteronomy 8 says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You should remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. First Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you've received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? James 4:1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Give us is an acknowledgement that we are little ones. That we need our good Father to provide for us. And notice it says us. We're not simply asking God to provide for our individual needs. We're praying with and for other people. Give us, provide for your people on a daily basis, our daily bread. It's a unique phrase The only time it appears, daily bread, the daily part, is in Matthew and in the parallel passage in Luke. Actually, it is so rare that this is the only place in all of Greek literature that this word is used. So there is some debate on what the word means. Because we can't cross-reference it. We can't say, well, how is it used elsewhere? It's not used anywhere else. In all writing, this is it. So there's the debate. Is Matthew and then later Luke, are they coining a phrase that means daily bread in the sense of an eschatological idea, the tomorrow's bread, the bread of forever? Could be. Or they're using it to mean that it's bread that's necessary for the day in question, like the manna of Exodus, that God every day will provide that which is necessary. Or it's the sense of God is going to give me what I need for survival. Proverbs 30, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Now, I think it can go both any of those directions. But no matter how you interpret it, what we're saying is that we need this, and God is the one that will provide this, and he's not going to give us more. He's not going to give us bread for forever today. He's going to give me what I need today. Not what I want today, what I need. And there's a difference between a need and a want. My guess is you as great parents, maybe I should say, you as great fathers on today. Have had that conversation with your children. As your children come to you and say, Dad, I need. In our home, we would pause and say, I'm sorry, what was that? Let's do a vocab again. I think the word you were looking for was want. Paul, is this when I say words matter? Because words matter. And how we use them matters. And in the fourth petition, what we're coming to God and saying is, Father, give me and all of your people exactly what we need. And I'm okay with just receiving what I need for today. He's going to give me that provision. Sometimes you hear people talk and say, as they watch somebody else who's going through a difficult time, I could never go through that. Yeah, you're right, you couldn't. Until you need to. God's not going to give you grace to go through what somebody else is going to go through. He will provide the grace when you need the grace. We don't believe in a storehouse of grace. What we believe is in a God that provides daily for his people. And the sense is that for everything that we have and everything that we need, it needs to come. Yes, we labor, we work, we do, but we need God's blessing. Calvin says it this way, bread becomes ours because our Heavenly Father freely bestows it on us for the supply of our necessities. The field must no doubt be cultivated, labor must be bestowed on gathering the fruits of the earth, and every man must submit to the toil of his calling in order to procure food. But all this does not hinder us from being fed by the undeserved kindness of God, without which men might waste their strength to no purpose. We are thus taught that what we seem to have acquired by our own industry is actually ours as a gift. He goes on to say, though we may have an abundance of corn and wine and everything else, unless they are watered by the secret blessing of God, they will suddenly vanish, or will be deprived of the use of them, or they will lose their natural power to support us, so that we shall famish in the midst of plenty. This is why we read Psalm 124. You actually thought it was because of Father's Day. It wasn't. It was actually for the first half of the psalm, not the second. Unless the Lord builds the house, the labor's in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays up in vain. We need God's blessing on the work of our hands. Otherwise, it's vanity. It's in vain. It's worthless, is what Solomon is saying. The Heidelberg Catechism says our work, our worry, and our gifts cannot do any good without God's blessing. There's so much danger in self-reliance. And the first petition is saying, no, rely on God's care. Rely on His blessing. Depend upon that blessing. When I was pretty freshly married, we were in a church in Orange City that every spring would have a service, a prayer service for crops and industries. I almost want to do a show of hands for how many people have been in a service for crops and industries. Yeah, it's a smattering. This is only one of the few times I can say, yes, I see that hand. Sorry, that's a joke for my broad evangelical upbringing. But crops and industries, that service is really a service that says we need God in every facet of our life. And the service was arranged where you went from industry to industry to industry, from crop to crop to crop, where somebody would come up and pray specifically for God's blessing on those that served as civil servants, those that served in the farming community, those that served in the banking industry, and you move from industry to industry and crop to crop to crop. And I think there's some value to it. Because what it says is, we need you, God. In every arena of our life, we need you. Give us this day our daily bread. And it's really a call to trust, which is our second point. It's God's care, our trust. As God provides for us today, the sense is that He will also provide for us tomorrow. That's the great message of the manna in the wilderness, is it not? That every day God provides for His people. And the faith is that tomorrow He'll also put out the manna. And if you try to collect tomorrow for tomorrow, today, it gets rotten. Because God's saying, no, I want your trust. Do you really believe that I will provide for your tomorrows? Do you really believe that I can be trusted to provide exactly what you need? You often hear me lament Philippians 4:13. But this is when you quote it. God, I trust you. I trust you in the midst of being in plenty, I trust you in being in a time of need, that you are a God that knows perfectly well how to take care of your children. And if you want me to be in plenty, then I will say thank you. And if you want me to be in want, then I'll say thank you. Because you're my heavenly Father, and you know perfectly how to take care of me, and my response is, I trust you. And our tendency is to push back and say, God, I think you got it wrong here. You're not taking care of my children like I think you ought to. You're not providing for me with regard to employment like you ought to. I'm not financially where I thought I ought to be. God, my investments aren't doing what they ought to do. God, my health isn't what it ought to be. God, let me help you with your work because you're not giving me my daily bread how I want it. No, Philippians 4:13 is no, I believe that I can endure whatever or go through forever whatever or trust in whatever circumstance I'm in because God will enable me to say I can do all things through him who strengthens me in the midst of difficulties or joys. And this is why Paul comes back in 1 Thessalonians 5 after he says in 5:17 that we're supposed to pray about everything. In 5:18, he's saying, give thanks in everything. And the only way you can give thanks in everything is if you actually trust God. That you can say thank you. No matter what he gives. Should we be honest with how we normally live? It's not normally in trust, is it? It's normally in fear, in worry, anxiety, dread, and in doubt. This is why earlier in the service we read from later on in Matthew 6 where Jesus is saying, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat or drink or what you're going to wear. Trust. We are anxious, aren't we? We're anxious for the world we live in. We're anxious for the nation we live in. We're anxious for our kids and our grandkids. We have concerns about ourselves, about our health and our financial stability. We have concerns about all of these different arenas of life. Sometimes we're anxious and we don't even know why. We lay our head on our pillow at night and we just can't stop. And these thoughts, these obsessive thoughts are there as we just can't let go of our anxiety and our cares and our concerns. And Jesus says, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious because first, what you're fretting about really isn't that important in the big scheme of things. Verse 25 of chapter 6. Don't be anxious because the Father loves you. You're valuable to the Father. It's not arrogant to stand in front of the mirror in the morning and say, my Heavenly Father tenderly loves me, when your Heavenly Father has declared that love. If you are a child of God, the Father loves you. And in that love and in that valuing of you, He has promised to take care of you. And in the midst of the worry, in the midst of the doubts, in the midst of the fear, what you can claim to is that I am valuable to the Heavenly Father who reigns and rules over all things. He loves me. He has set His affection upon me. He knows me. He will take care of me. Third, Jesus says, what's worrying going to do for you? It can't change anything. It's fruitless activity. For God delights to care for you. Five, you're a child, not an outsider. And Jesus is saying, remember always that you're part of the family. Don't act like you're not. Don't act like a stranger in God's house. You're a child. If you weren't a child, then you could worry about it. If you're not a child, then you can chase after these things. If you're not a child, then you can have all of these worries and doubts and fears. But you're not an outsider. You're a child of God. And as a child of God, you have someplace to go. Peter would say, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And six, all our worries and anxieties and fears about what to wear, what to eat, what to put on, is the wrong priority. The kingdom is what matters. Jesus is gently saying, move yourself out of this center spot, which really is what worry and anxiety really is. Worry and anxiety is really a form of self-centeredness. And what Jesus is saying, get your eyes off you and bring them up. Seek His kingdom. And all these things will be added. And then that curious little ending, verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. Sounds a lot like, give us this day our daily bread. Sounds a lot like, Father, I trust you with today, with tomorrow, with next week, with next month, with next year. Because I belong in life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And the fourth petition is saying, go ahead and live that way. That you belong. And because you belong to Him, He will provide. He will take care of His own. And He loves to do it. So go ahead and ask. Go ahead and come to Him.
and say, provide, because you can and because you want to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, such a simple petition, but one that's so hard to live. We either move into a position of self-sufficiency, or we move into a position of doubt and fears and worries and anxieties. And where you want us to live is in trust. So please help us. Help us to be those that believe in and depend upon and trust in our Heavenly Father, who does all things well. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.